Whatever in your life that needs to be resurrected, believe today now. Let's see a brand new day. In Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Everybody say firstborn from the dead. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus himself is the firstborn from the dead. He's the beginning of a new creation that would carry his life and fulfill his purpose. He's the first one to rise in resurrection power. It's the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch from the earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. It is a whole new creation because of the resurrection. Others have been raised from the dead before. Remember the widow of Nain. Jesus raised the dead on his way to the funeral. He always messed up funerals. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after he had been dead 4 days. But he did not resurrect any of them. He only resuscitated them because they died again. Resurrection is the force of a new creation, yes, of which we are a part. Amen. It's a force great enough to raise one from the dead and empower him to live for eternity. And one who is resurrected by the resurrection power that raised Jesus' body is unkillable and undiable. Amen. It's a life force all its own that was experienced by Jesus in his resurrection. And the Holy Spirit was the one who orchestrated the resurrection. Romans 8:11 says, and if that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead raised up from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. So it was the Holy Spirit who produced the resurrection power for the new creation. While the earth and heaven waited, the Holy Spirit moved quietly into that sealed tomb and raised the pulseless, lifeless Son of God. The angel rolled the stone away from the tomb, not so that Jesus could get out, because Jesus now had a glorified body. And remember, he could easily walk through doors. But a body that was eternal, that would never die again. Jesus' glorified body, the same kind of body that you're going to have, because he's promised us a body in which we will spend eternity. The angel rolled away the stone so that those who were coming could view his body could enter in. God's willing for us to be convinced. God's willing to give us points to believe. God's willing to set us up, actually, which he did to Mary Magdalene. So she comes, but peering tentatively into the tomb, she saw that Jesus' body was not there. There was nothing there, only empty burial clothes in the empty tomb. The one whom they loved so dearly, whose body they had placed in that tomb on Friday, was no longer there. And you and I know, as the little girl said in her schoolroom, when the teacher was trying to get the children not to be so literal about the resurrection, you know how liberal people like to believe that he's the Almighty overall. As one man said, I heard so much of that, I thought I was in a union meeting one day. No, he's not the everlasting, floating whatever. No, he rose to heaven. And in heaven today, there's a man in the glory. And he has a body. And in his body, he has nail prints in his hands. And he has the place in his side to show forever. When we get there, we will see the part that we played. And so the little girl's teacher was saying, and so now we must understand, class, that Jesus is just really everywhere. God is really just everywhere. And the little girl raised her hand and said, but I know someplace he's not. He's not in that empty tomb. You know, religion has never had a leader that was raised from the dead. No wonder Christianity is the greatest religion on earth.
Thank you,
Lord. What a Savior.
What a Savior.
Jesus is the only one who defeated death, hell, and the grave, not for himself, but for us. And as he left that tomb that day, he set up a whole new order of things. You know, back in the 1800s, people got so excited. Some people found some skeleton fingers, a couple of them, that they were convinced belonged to Buddha. There was such excitement about it. And then again in the 1900s, after that had all died down and been forgotten, someone recognized this and realized it, that someone had them kept away safely someplace. And there was a big hullabaloo about it. The skeleton fingers of Buddha had been found, they said. Now that is not really impressive to Christians. Because if someone ever told you they found any part of Jesus' body, you would know it is a lie. Because there is no finger to find. Christ rose. He immediately began to appear to the ones he loved. On resurrection morning, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, who saw him first, and he immediately began to reveal what his crucifixion and resurrection meant. John 20, verse 15. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned herself and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus said to her, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." The Jewish people had not had a father. And now Mary first reveals, Jesus reveals to Mary, that she's going to have a father. And that she's going to be a part of a family. That God wanted a family, not a religion. Come on, church. This is why we don't just come to church on Sunday morning. I'm so glad you're here this Easter morning. Please let the Holy Spirit draw you so that you can become regular in attendance to worship the King. Because we're a family and He is our Father. Jesus has just risen, and as He first speaks to Mary because she's weeping, amazing that she could give him pause. First, he wanted to comfort her sorrow and grief. He always cares about us first. But when she reached out to touch him, he said, "No, don't do that, because I'm on my way to my Father." Why? What's the rush? When Jesus died on the cross, there was a great earthquake. And the veil of the temple was split in two. I think that's what's depicted up here. There was a great earthquake and the veil of the temple was split in two because a great transition had been made. God removed his presence from the Holy of Holies in the temple to the tabernacle in heaven. And there would never again be a sacrifice accepted on that earthly altar. Altar. After Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God, there would be no more yearly sacrifice for sins. The Scripture says He paid the price once for all. And don't you try to sacrifice for your sins either.
No.
Go to the one who has done it all, to which you can add nothing, and tell Him that you believe and embrace His wonderful work. Let Him live in your heart and cleanse you of all your sin. This ended the ceremonial law so that the new covenant in Jesus' blood could be established. Now, I want to take you somewhere this morning that you might not have been before. Because I want you to know that the first thing that Jesus did after He spoke to Mary, then He immediately went up into where the heavenly tabernacle is. So I want to read you something. I want you to listen very carefully because this is going to help you to have power on earth. Hebrews 9:11. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that are to come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven. Everybody understand? There's a great, perfect tabernacle in heaven. The one on earth that Moses made was just a shadow, a type, a copy, to give us an idea what it's like to go into the presence of God, which was made by human hands and is not a part of this created world. With His own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Verse 13, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences. Do we need that? From sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered Himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. So Jesus, we don't need a priest. We don't need anyone to mediate between ourselves and God because Jesus Himself, the Scripture says, is now our great high priest. Hebrews 9, verse 23 and 24 says, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven would be purified with these. I sort of kind of can imagine something needing to be purified in heaven, but that's what this says. It was necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these things, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. In other words, the tabernacle here on earth, there had to be a purification with the blood of bulls and goats, but in heaven, with better sacrifices than these. The tabernacle in heaven. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are a figure of the true. In other words, Christ didn't enter into the old temple or the old tabernacle, but He entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So the first thing Jesus did after He spoke to Mary was that He went up into heaven and appeared in that heavenly tabernacle before God. Jesus, our high priest of the new covenant, entered into heaven itself, into the heavenly tabernacle, and appeared in the presence of God for us. The first thing He did was to leave earth and present His blood before the throne of God in order to make a new and living way for us to enter into the presence of God. That's why we are a new creation. He brought heaven and earth together in covenant through His blood, so that now we can go right into His presence. I find the greatest problem people have in serving God and giving themselves to His purpose is feeling like they can stay close to God, that they can be near to God, that they can really have a relationship with Him. And many people live their whole lives but don't really have a relationship with Him Because they don't understand that Jesus has already made the way for us into the presence of God. And all we need to do is to believe that He took His blood into the tabernacle in heaven and presented it for us before the presence of God. Hebrews 10:19 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly," think of it, boldly. "We can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain." That's this curtain that was in the Old Testament. "Through that curtain, you can go through that new and living way into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water." Do we realize that as we have prayed for years, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," that we're declaring that we expect heaven to come to earth? We expect to get heaven down into this location where we need it. I mean, what about the sweet by and by is great, but what about the nasty now and now? We really need Him now. We need healing now. We won't need it in heaven. We need Him to champion over all of our sorrows now. There won't be any sorrows in heaven. We need Him now. We need to connect with Him now. We need to understand that He made the way for us to come in, not just sometimes, not just on Easter Sunday, but any moment, even behind your steering wheel, wherever you may be, every moment to be with Him in His presence through His blood. Because the petition is ended now that Jesus has entered into heaven for us with His own blood. Jesus opened the door to heaven for us while we are still here on earth. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. But you know what? You don't have to climb. His blood just takes you right in. And I want you to know that Jesus is that ladder and Jesus is that connection whereby we go straight into the presence of God. Some people have never even considered that they could really be with Him and really be in His presence. Well, I know it so much. I know it's so true. When I get in a hard place, sometimes I might just say to Jesus, "Jesus, you see this? Now this is, you got to get me out of this, Lord." One time the Lord said to me, I was lying on my sofa in my sunroom, and man, what a mess. I mean, what a mess. Difficulty, and I could not figure it out. And the Lord said to me just very clearly, I said to Him, "Lord, what about this mess?" And He said to me, "I'm going to lift you out of this mess." You need to talk to Him about what's bothering you right now, about that addiction that's binding you right now. Ask Him about that mess. You need to ask Him about your broken marriage right now. You need to ask Him about the problem you're having with your children that are in rebellion. Ask Him right now. He cares about the mess you're in right now. That's why He took His blood into heaven, so that right now, today, any day of the week, you can go right into the presence of God. You've got to believe that He's done that for you. If we expect to receive the promises of heaven, we have to enter before the throne of God by a new and living way through His blood. Earthly substitutes will never satisfy. Someone was telling me about a church that got a new worship pastor that really loved Jesus and wanted the people's eyes on Jesus, not just on some worship machinations. You know, there's just no end to all the little tricks and gadgets they've come up with now to try to make it feel like heaven or something. I don't know what they're doing. And he said, "I'm going to get rid of the smoke machine. I'm going to get rid of the wind machine." Somebody was telling me the story. I said, Now they've even got a wind machine to try to pretend the Holy Spirit has come in. A smoke machine, a wind machine. And sounds that have to sound absolutely heavenly, so you pay somebody $100,000 a year. But $100,000 a year can't buy the presence of God.
No.
Earthly substitutes will never satisfy the need that only God can meet. Now, I want to tell you something. I want you to think about it. I want you to meditate on it. I'm going to give you a short little sentence. The best of earth is no degree of heaven.
Hallelujah.
You've either got heaven stuff or you've got earth stuff.
That's right.
And come on, God's calling us up into heaven.
Yeah.
He said, come up hither. There are things I want to show you. The Lord wants us to go up. He wants us to get up from where we are and to know that we are special people, that Jesus did this special work so that we can boldly enter before His throne of grace. Now, I want to tell you that Jesus had an Easter message. And He preached it. This is my fourth message out of the Easter season. Haven't we had a great time?
Yes.
We started there at the Last Supper and then in the Garden of Gethsemane and then up to the crucifixion, and we found out about the blood of the Lamb, and that He's the true Passover Lamb, and there never will be another one slain. But today, I just wanted us to see now what Jesus expects for us, now that He has done all of this and accomplished all of this. After He took His blood into the heavens, He returned. And it's interesting, as I mentioned about Thomas last week, because Thomas missed his first time. I just want those of you who feel like God doesn't care about you, the Lord will keep making times to come back to you until you'll get it.
Yes.
And Thomas got it that time. And he didn't mind that Thomas needed a little more help believing. By the way, don't tell anybody, but we all do. He next appeared to His disciples. The scripture says, you know, we don't want to make it complicated, this thing about serving Jesus. But John 20 shows us what He actually said in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed them His hands and His side. There's no peace without what you see in His hands and His side. That's why He showed them. This is where your peace will come from. And the disciples were glad then when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. This is Jesus' Easter message. He rose from the dead, went to the disciples, and here's what He preached. Peace be unto you. And I saw from that there's four things. Sometimes we want to make it complicated. Oh, I'm not good enough. I don't know if I'll ever be able to serve God. I hear what you're saying. I think you believe, but I don't know if I can ever believe. And then there are all of these books that are supposed to help us have a deeper experience with God. And it can go on and on while people are trying to dig out a deeper experience. God's people who have touched the blood and gone up before the throne room are just rejoicing in the victory. Come on, don't stay back there forever trying to find out how to do this. Believe in the power of His blood. If you will believe on His name, He will give you power to become the Son of God. He wants to make you His sons and His daughters. And so I saw four things in Jesus' Easter message. And I believe this is how simple. This is what He wants to ask from us on the other side of the resurrection. Now that He is resurrected, What is he saying to us? He's actually telling the disciples what he wants them to be doing next. And he begins to talk to them after they have peace, that he wants them to go. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. You know, that's right up at the top of his sermon. It's very interesting. While we're trying to dig deeper, Jesus is just trying to get us to take the good news to the whole world. If I were you, I wouldn't just sit around forever trying to get deep. I would just go out where life really is, and you'll need the Holy Spirit, and because you need him, he'll come to you.
Yes. Yes.
See, a lot of people are asking for the power of God. Well, what would they do with it if they had it? But he gives that anointing and that wonderful power to people who have first answered his call and gone where he said that we are to go. The first thing he said to them is that I want you to be at peace. Peace be unto you. So I want to say this to us today. If you have had turmoil in your life and if you've had confusion and difficulty, the first part of Jesus' Easter message is that he wants to fix that. And he wants to give you peace. He wants us to live in peace.
Yes, he does.
Amen. And so he also doesn't want them to be afraid, neither of him nor what he's calling them to do. So he says, I want you to have peace. Now, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of me. Don't be afraid of yourself. And don't be afraid of what I'm getting ready to tell you that I want you to do. The second thing he said to them was, he gives them the assignment. Go and tell others. As the Father has sent me into the world, so send I you. We have gotten so churchified about how we're supposed to do everything that we just can't be people out in the world who have an anointing and a truth and a light to take to people who are sitting in darkness. You know, 3 or 4 days ago, I was standing in the pool. You know, I go every morning and exercise there in the pool. And there's been a lot of ministry opportunities there. And I thought, isn't it just really neat that even, like, I don't want to be there every morning. I'd rather be doing something else. I'd rather be ministering to people or praying or anything. But this is my assignment for right now. And I thought, well, you must love those people over at that wellness, Lord, to put me over there so long, so much. So I've ministered to a whole pile of people. I've given them my books. I've just done a whole lot of things. And I'm just standing there finishing up, and I'm glad that this time nobody's talking to me so I can finish counting what I'm doing, get it fixed right. And this woman comes over to me because she knows who I am. She's talked with me a little bit along the way. And so she says to me, I know that Easter's supposed to be a happy time, but I always find it to be sad. So I just quit my counting. I thought, well, here we go. Be sure that we're not like the priest, the worship leader, who passed the man on Jericho Road, who didn't have time for him because he's on the way to lead worship. He's on the way to preach. You can't possibly let people get in the way. So I talked to her about this. I said, this simple fact. I just want to tell you something. On Easter Sunday, we sing about Jesus being resurrected. We don't sing the songs on the other side of it because it's Easter. And I said, and so you're in a choir, are you? She said, yeah. I said, I used to be in a choir. And I said, by the time we finished singing a description of all the things about death, I felt a little sad too. So I suggest you just keep your mind on the resurrection, because Easter is about how Jesus conquered. He had to go there and be there a little while, but he conquered every dark thing that he saw there.
Yes.
That's the sermon from the swimming pool. So when Jesus said, as the Father sent me into the world, Jesus didn't look for a great tabernacle or something to preach in. It was whoever he encountered all along the way. You haven't got the Easter message, church, if you're not taking it to others along the way. So first he said, peace. Then secondly, he said, don't forget your purpose. That's the second part of Jesus' Easter message. Don't forget your purpose. He came to the disciples. I know you've been through a lot, but now here's what I want you to do. The third thing is wonderful because he gives them authority. To do this, as he breathes on them the wonderful power of his Spirit, which they are going to get in a full, tremendous way on the day of Pentecost, as they are baptized in the Holy Spirit, but he's giving them just a little taste as he breathes on him. And he gives them this authority. And the scripture says, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Did you know that Jesus doesn't expect you to go out and minister to others without giving you the equipment that you need to work with?
That's right. Yeah.
Now, some people go out into some high-flung ministry opportunities that are way above their level of grace, and they fail. That's not Jesus' fault. You just take it a step at a time. And as God keeps giving you grace and increasing your faith and increasing the level of the Spirit in you, you'll be able to conquer all the things that he's calling you to do. But begin where you are. Just begin. It's so wonderful to know that he's given us the authority and the power by his wonderful Holy Spirit. You remember that some were called and some were sent. And some just grabbed a microphone and went. And it's very important to know what the message is and get the power to deliver it, and then to call on God and say, where is it you want me to go with this message? And remember always that it's his message and that people are drawn to him, not to you. That way, if people reject you, then it doesn't destroy you. Because, by the way, some people will reject you if you go. But this is part of the Easter message, is that we have power over all of that. And the fourth thing is he wants them to be those who give and receive forgiveness. He says, whosoever sins you remit, they will be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they will be retained. Forgiveness is such a tremendous power. It's what Jesus first demonstrated on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And there is no one who has committed an injustice toward you that really knows what he's doing. That really knows how much he's hurting you and how much he's hurting himself. And may I tell you this about forgiveness? It's such a wonderful thing. It's really nice if when you forgive people and start praying for them and bless them. I took time this morning, like I do every morning, to bless those that say things against me and to forgive those who have hurt me. Well, you think that'll cause them to come back and ask your forgiveness? I'm not going to hold my breath. But I do think this. It sure helps me.
Right.
You ever talked with someone that's just all balled up about what they did to me? It was that song that says, won't somebody sing another somebody done somebody wrong song?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody done a lot of Christians wrong. But does anybody remember people did you wrong before you became a Christian too? People are just people. And bad things happen to good people. But if you can understand this about forgiveness, it's not that people deserve forgiveness. And it's not saying you condoning what they did. All it's saying is you want to be free from it. And you want them to be free secondarily. By the way, I want them to be free too. And so the fact of the matter is, isn't this interesting? That Jesus knew he could not send the disciples out without giving them the power of the Holy Spirit to go. And there's no need to send them out if they don't understand that forgiveness is the key. that's going to keep them right. And it's going to open the way for him to work in that place wherever. So don't think there can be any ministry unless we're continually giving and receiving forgiveness. And today, as I was praying for some people that have hurt, where I have felt some hurt that was involved in it, I said, and Lord, please help them find a place of ministry that will be suitable for them, that they can really flourish in. I just decided, hey, I'm going to do this thing. I'm just going to do it right. You might see some ministers just popping up around here, and that'll be the other end of my prayers. And I just prayed those people right out of the molly grubs of having thrown things away they had and all of that kind of thing, and all of a sudden they start coming forth. Could be some of the prayers of some of us that have forgiven those people that are digging them out of that ground again. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? Now, I want to tell you this morning. And I'm really happy for all of you that have come to visit with us today.
Amen.
And Easter is the most perfect time in the year to come to church, because people really have a desire to be thankful to Jesus. And is there anything any more wonderful than to think that because Jesus rose from the dead, that we will actually have resurrection bodies? I know that, you know, Paul says that the bodies we have, he calls it the body of my humiliation. Isn't that great? Does your body ever humiliate you? Bodies are humbling things. They don't always do what we ask them to do. But let me give you a word today. The scripture says that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken our mortal bodies. Now, when the Holy Ghost raised Jesus from the dead, he brought forth a whole new creation. Now, that's the power in resurrection. Paul said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. So apparently there is going to be some of this resurrection power in us, because that's what those two scriptures say. Paul wants to know more of his resurrection power. And this is Paul's prayer. Oral Roberts made the statement that any time you get miraculously healed, it's a quick little visitation of the resurrection.
Amen.
Isn't it really raising again from the dead? That thing in you that doesn't want to cooperate? So you just had a quick shot. We get little shots of resurrection power that come to us. And let's ask God to do this for us. Why not? But I want you to know that God has made all this provision for you, and then that your body, that you will have a resurrection body just like Jesus did. And the scripture says, flesh and... if you see a spirit, his disciples were unnerved by his appearance. And he said, no, my body, this is a real body, because a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see me have. And he invited them, touch me and see. And this really upsets liberal people who don't want there to be a literal resurrection. I don't know why people want less. They work so hard to prove their point, you know? But I had a professor once who said that some theologian said it just nauseated him to think of Jesus eating fish after he'd been raised from the dead. Well, why? We got to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're all going to be eating together. All of us are going to eat together there. And you'll be in a... you don't get into heaven in these bodies. They don't work there. And do well to work here.
Hallelujah.
And I want you to know that Jesus has provided... he didn't just do this thing for himself. He made all this so you could have one just like it. Thank God for all eternity we will be in a body that will never need healing again. It'll never slow down when we're trying to slow back. I read after a man that had visited heaven. He says, absolutely no death there, none at all, none at all. He was offered a piece of fruit. He ate the fruit, and it was so delicious. But he threw the peel down, and it just disappeared. Because if it had lain there, it would have died. So nothing can die. Nothing can die in heaven. Everything lives all the time, and God's voice is heard all the time, and angels are worshiping Jesus all the time. And He's giving us bodies that we're going to enjoy that and even enjoy reigning with Him right here on this earth. He's giving us everything that we need for these things. So I wanted to say this to you today, that one other thing, and I'm finished, that Jesus is telling the disciples, now I expect you to really make a difference. I expect you to really make a difference. Don't just mark off the calendar how many days you've been good. Or how many times you have not yelled at your wife this week. Now, I'm not interested in anything like that. I want you to really make a difference. I want you to go out as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I want you to go in my mighty power. And do for people what needs to be done. And I want you to keep on forgiving and giving forgiveness. Because this is the power that keeps my Holy Spirit working and present. And He's really telling them this is the message of Easter. It's the power to make a fresh start.
Yes.
And to turn from the dying and dead things that have kept us from the power of the resurrection. Turn from the dying and dead things. And if there's anybody here this morning that feels like, and I know there is somebody, and there may be a few, I'm not good enough for this. This could never happen to me. I tried this before, and it didn't work. Well, the way my life's been going, so many bad things happen to me, I don't know that I believe that Jesus really loves me. And anyway, I've done so many rotten things that He probably wouldn't want to come anywhere near where I am. Jesus is so unusual about that. Last week I talked about Thomas. If it had been most earthly fathers, or maybe even earthly friends, first thing he said to Thomas was, see, you should have believed the disciples. You weren't even here anyway. We are so quick to censor people. They don't do this. They don't do that. Spurgeon says every man has two pairs of glasses. He has a pair of glasses that magnifies things that he looks at others with. And he has one that shrinks faults that he looks at himself with. Don't we? And so here's Thomas. But as I shared with you last week, he's responsible for the Christianizing of India. He started down in South India and built churches all around India. This man who couldn't even come to church on time. Or on the right day. He even missed the day to be there. 8 days later, he had to be told these things. So the devil tells you all kinds of reasons why it won't work for you. And you're not good enough. But see what he did for Thomas.
Exactly right.
And what he did for Peter. Everybody wondered, you know, is Peter still a disciple after the way he mucked everything up? Jesus knew he's going to do that. He said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Oh, won't I'll go with you for prison to death. He even forgives us for saying boastful things that are not true.
That's right.
And so, in one of his appearances after the resurrection, I just love it because they're out fishing. He asks them if they've caught anything. And then he says to them, bring some of the fish. That's after how he instructed them, you know, how to fish. Go on the other side. Then he told the fish, now you be right there and you get on that hook or in that net. And so he said, now bring some of the fish you have caught. He even lets them think they caught the fish. He's not mad at you. God is not mad at you.
No.
I'm saying that to you, whether you're a believer or not today. Right. He is not mad at you. He loves you. Jesus died for you. He wants you. He's inviting you to be a part of this new creation. To get into a life where, just as we heard this wonderful testimony today, you can expect God to be touching you and meeting your needs on a regular basis. And the scripture says that he ate fish and honeycomb, all health food, in front of them. In front of them. I said that for someone's benefit in here that's very interested in that. And Peter had denied him. Can you say, you know, by your life you denied sometimes that you even knew Jesus. But he's going to forgive you for that. All he wanted to know, just this one thing, Peter, do you love me? And he asked him three times. And then, interestingly, he said to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. If we want to show Jesus we love him, we need to be sharing this wonderful truth with lambs, with sheep. It's the most important way that we show that we love Jesus. Is by reaching out to others and meeting their needs. Whoever you are sitting there today, I have good news for you. It's the day for you to be resurrected up out of the darkness you've been in, the fear that you've been in, the boring, humdrum place where nothing ever seems to change. God wants a change for you today. That's what it is to preach Christ. Is to preach you ought to be having something much better than this. You should be living much higher than this. If you're sick, he wants you well. If you're poor, he wants to take you up out of the poverty. If you're in an emotional mess, he wants to give you peace. That's his promise. So I'm going to ask if Jane, if you will come, and Jim. And I want you to bow your hearts in his presence for just a moment today. And I think I'll let you stand. You've been sitting a little while. Let's go ahead and stand. And let's just let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Today I want to share with all my heart, I wanted to share something with you that would lift you up, that would encourage you. Where you could say, on that resurrection Sunday, my life really changed. Both believers and unbelievers that are here today, your life can really change this Sunday. And next Sunday can be completely different from what it has been before. Because Jesus died for this. And so I want to ask you, let's bow our hearts in his presence. Everyone, close your eyes, bow your heads. And let's look to the Lord together, to the Holy Spirit to move. I want you to know this morning that God is not a respecter of persons. I appreciate it's Easter and all of you look so pretty today. You're dressed up so nice. But he would love you no matter how you're dressed. He loves you no matter how you've been living, no matter how far you've fallen, no matter what kind of a jam you're into, no matter what kind of a rebel you've been. He still loves you. He will always love you. But today he wants you to feel and know his love. So I want to reach out this invitation to you this morning. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. We've had so many that have received Jesus Christ right here in this church. But sometimes the Holy Spirit allows the word to be ministered in a way that you finally get it. You hadn't seen that before. Now you see it. You didn't realize that it was all for you. And that you can be a part of this new creation through the power of his wonderful Holy Spirit. And I want to give an opportunity for those who may be here this morning that have not given your heart to Jesus Christ. You've not surrendered your life. You haven't said, "Yes, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to serve you. And I believe you that today you will come into my heart if I ask you to. And I can be saved." Holy Spirit, will you bring conviction by the power that only you can do in this place today? And may we know our own hearts so that we can fully give them to you. Who is there that wants to lift your hand and say, "Pastor, I want to give my heart to Jesus today. I want to say yes to Him. I want to surrender my life to Jesus." Or maybe you've been away from Him. It happens to people that they just grow cold toward God and they get away from God and things distract them or they get discouraged. But the Lord wants to say to you today, "I've made a new and living way for you that through my blood you can come right before the throne of the Father and I will always be with you." So I want to give an opportunity before we leave today. And I will pray for you. You simply lift your hand and say, "I want to come back to Jesus. I've been away from Him. I've grown cold toward Him." Or either you want to say, "I've never yielded. I've never really given my heart to Jesus. And I want to say yes to Jesus today. I want to be a part of His new creation. I want to be a part of what He's doing. I want to repent of my sins. I want to be cleansed of a guilty conscience. And I know so that I can know that I'm really free." And you may be backslidden. You may be in a state where you really know you need Jesus today. And you want to know, "Can anybody help me?" I want you to know Jesus will not only help you, He will heal you, He will fix you. He will completely set you free to be His servant. Are there those that need to lift your hand and say, "Pastor, will you include me in that prayer and pray for me that I can really know Jesus, that I can really give my heart and life to Him today?" I see your hand. I see two hands on my right. Would you keep your hands up just one moment? All right. On the right, there are two hands. Thank you, Jesus. Now, others, you know, we have a song that says that's what this altar is for. Did you know this is not one of those stuffy churches where you have to come in good and leave good because everybody's pretending? This is one of those churches where you come just how you are and leave better. I want to see other hands. I don't want the enemy to rob anybody of what Jesus wants to give you today. Others that want to raise your hand, say, "Pastor, I want to be included in that prayer. I want to know what it would be like to be born again, to really know Jesus, to really have the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, to be set free from these things that cause fear and doubt and confusion, oppression in my life. Some of you may be oppressed in your minds. I want you to know Jesus can lift that in a moment. But first of all, you give Him the way to lift it by saying, "I receive you as my Savior. I receive you." You may be addicted to some substance, alcohol, some drug. Or you could be addicted to porn. Things, something that you're ashamed of, some habit that you haven't been able to get rid of. I'm telling you that Jesus is the deliverer today. Why don't you just lift your hand up and say, "Jesus, I need you to help me. I need you to set me free. Will you come? Will you come into my heart? Will you give me a brand new life? Will you cleanse me today?" Any others? I'm going to stand one more time where I can see everybody's hand really well. Others? Any others? I don't want you to be left out. I don't want to miss anybody because you're a beautiful congregation today. And I see your hand. Now I see your hand. over to my left. This is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. So beautiful. Others, I'm leaving a few moments. And by the way, those of you that have raised your hands, if you wanted to just step forward here, some people really feel that they want to do that. If you just want to step forward here and come up here with me, I'd just be glad to get somebody to pray for you. If you just feel like you just want to come out here, up here and pour your heart out to Jesus, and we're free here. That's what this altar is for. And we make a way for you to come back to Jesus. Jesus has shed his blood. By the way, you don't have to get better. You don't have to do anything better. You only have to believe in him and say, Lord, I want you to come into my heart today. Because today is the day of salvation. No more bondage. No more fear. No more oppression. No more confusion. I want to be a part of this glorious kingdom. This is what I want us to do now. Is that we have some folks that have raised their hands to ask to be in this prayer. And these are all pretty much people that I don't know, which just really pleases me. Because the Lord wants to bring many into his glorious kingdom.